So miketz lo shim shana v'arba miyos shana be'etzem hayom hazeh yatzu kol tivos Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim. If there's an expression in that pasuk, outstanding. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, and this is what we want to dedicate today's shiur exclusively to, is what exactly is the implication of this term? So let's take a look at Rashi. Go ahead, Emmanuel. Rashi, Be'etzem. Lo ikvan. Keheref ayin. So Rashi says, Be'etzem ayom hazeh, that once the appointed time arrived, as the pasuk says in Yechezkel, Kivi, just finish off, V'hine iteich es dodim, when that moment finally arrived, lo ikvan keheref ayin. God did not delay them even by the slightest amount. So Be'etzem ayom hazeh means immediately upon that day. The Ibn Ezra, Aiden, go ahead. The Ibn Ezra, take a look. This is, you should see it right there in the Aruch. So the Ibn Ezra, okay, go ahead. You have it? Okay, the Ibn Ezra, Aiden, go ahead. Perfect. What point is being made? Very well done. So he says it wasn't al yedei tzaakasan. They could scream out all they want, but rather, what was necessary? Be'etzem hayom hazeh vayhi miketz. It was immediately shloshim shana ve'arba miyos shana. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. So, Aiden, what's the point that's being made, according to Ibn Ezra? Right, that what was required was the appropriate time. And we'll discuss that at much greater length tomorrow in terms of Leal Shimurim Hu LaHashem Lotziyam Eretz Mitzrayim. So things like Tzaakasan were not going to materially impact this situation. That was not going to make the difference, the fact that they were crying out to this effect. Okay, that's a very, very, very important point. He's saying, no matter how many tefillos they issued, Sariel, that they would not be able to leave until the appointed time came. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, this day was required because it was the day that had been set aside as the day of Geula. Okay. Eitan, go ahead. There's no question that tefillah played a role. I'm very glad that you brought up that pasuk. Vayeyanchu bnei Yisrael min ha'avudah vayizaku v'tal shavasam el ho'elokim min ha'avudah. The very next section in the Chumash is Moshe haya ro'eh Estzon Yisroel Chosno Achar HaMidbar. So, without a doubt, the tefillah was important with respect to setting into motion some events, such as Moshe Rabbeinu's participation on the scene, and yet they could not be taken out of Egypt. Remember, the tradition of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah was B'Rosh Hashanah Batlu Me'avosenu Shibud Mitzrayim. They were no longer slaves. So it's entirely possible that tefillah could have had the impact of causing the cessation of the bondage, But in terms of the extraction from Egypt, Eitan, that would have to wait until the appointed time. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you asked about that. I had candidly debated myself whether to bring up this point. Now, what I'd like to try to do now, and this is one of the real skills that we have and why Bikias is just so essential in the study of Chumash, as it is all other disciplines. Does anybody know, Avi, this is, I think, right up your alley, and certainly in your bailiwick. How many times, in how many contexts, in fairness, is a better way to formulate it, do we have the term Betzem Ayom Azen Chumash? Shimshi?
Five.
Yeah. So, of course, we have it in the context of the Mabul. We have the context of the Bris Mila. Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, Nimolu Avraham, V'Yishmael Abino. Then we have it extensively in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have it extensively in the context of Yom Kippur, the idea of Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper. Come back to that idea. I think in some sense, that's the linchpin here. And then we have it fifth and finally in the context of? Correct. The death of Moshe. Be'etzem ayom hazeh alei el har havarim hazeh lemor. So when you think about things like the Mabul, the institution of Bris Mila, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Tesvav Nisan, Yom HaKippurim, Kichol Nefesh Hasher Lo Se'une Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh V'Havati Es HaNefesh Ahim Ikerav Ama, and then fifth and finally Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Alei Al Har Havarim Hazeh Har Nevo Re'es Ha'aretz. So these clearly are seminal events. The death of Moshe, Yom Kippur, of course, has unique properties. Kiva Yom Azeh Yechaper Aleichem Mataris Chamikol Chatos Eichem Levnei Hashem Titaru. Yitzias Mitzrayim is almost self-evident. The Mabul and Bris Mila. So they're all seminal events. They're not the only seminal events in the Chumash, but what I'd like to try to do is to explore with you together over the next number of moments, perhaps more precisely, why the Torah reserves the terminology of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh for these contexts.
One group of people separated from the rest of the world, or I guess B'nai Israel with the Mabul, Noach was separated from the rest of the world, then Bris Mila is also separating us here. We were separated from the Mitzrayim, and Yom Kippur, like Bishop Israel, hurry if we don't do it, and it's like separating us. And then Moshe, I don't know, maybe Moshe is like a higher level than all Israel.
A very worthy start. Very worthy. Avi?
Like each of these things is at a turning point. Like the Mabul, like the whole world has changed. Bris Mila, like everything's changed. It's a new nation. Then, like, we go out Mitzrayim, and now we're all changed. And then Yom Kippur is like Matan Torah. And then also, like, Moshe is dead. We're like a new nation.
A worthy start from Hanan, and certainly a worthy continuation from Avi. Beautifully done. Let's explore and try to more precisely formulate the outstanding insight that Avi just provided. I mentioned that Yom Kippur I believe to be the linchpin. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Shitas Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yudah Anasi Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper, that Yom Kippur has the capacity to expiate even the absence of tshuva, Shimon, with the exception of which three examples? Kidivar Hashem Bazaves Mitzvah Sohefar, Hikares, Tikares, Shimshi, which three examples? Mefer Biso Shalavram Avinu, Megalafane Batoros, Averos, Biyad Ramah. But anybody who's not, you know, involved, AB, in these kinds of grievous offenses, according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, should be subject to expiation on Yom Kippur. Okay. He said, fascinating literature in the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, where there's some evidence that the Rambam subscribed to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, though there is far more to the story. So David, I take that as a starting point. Anytime the Torah uses this language of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, there's something called Itzumo Shalyom, that the day itself is a very powerful day. The day exerts a certain kind of impulse, a certain kind of force, in the context of Yom Kippur, because the nature of Yom Kippur is indeed exactly that, kapara and tahara, ki vayom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tahara eschem, so that's the force of the day. But that the day brings with it, Avi, here's where your expression is so vital, critical transitions, the day itself, events associated with the day. So Yom Kippur is clearly a massive transition, right? If I could use some of the dramatic language of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva of Perek Zayin, Emesh, just yesterday, prior to the process of Tshuva, Hayezem Meshukatsu Muvdal, Verachok Me'elokei Yisrael, Ve'achshav Yadid, Ahuv, Chavid, Nechmad, Ahuv, and now the person is beloved by God. A radical transformation. No longer the same person, in essence. So Yom Kippur represents, both at a personal level and at the communal level, V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael, V'lager hagar b'socham, ki l'chol amishkaga, a new beginning. A clear break with respect to our spiritual slate from the day before. Avi, I want to take that idea and now plug it back into your comments. The Mabul was not just a profound moment in its own right, the destruction of virtually the entire world. Vayisha'er ach noach v'asher ito bateva, but it represented a completely new world. There's an entire new creation that takes place. Some of us spent much time on this exact point last year when we discussed the new creation. Right, when God addresses Noach v'espanav and he tells them again, Puru revu melu es haaretz, the world has been completely recreated. All of a sudden there's a heter of achilas basar, though not ever min achai. Well, there's much discussion of that point. Certainly, there's transition in terms of God having lower expectations of the world. Right, Vayu Yamav Mea Vesrim Shana. Right, Vlo Osif Lakosis Kolchai Kasher Asisi. God's relationship with the world is fundamentally changed. And in that context, in the context of God lowering, so to speak, expectations for the entire world, there was an emergence of a nation that could live up to God's standards. Perhaps it was possible, one could explore the thought, that prior to the destruction of the world, and when I say destruction, I mean the spiritual destruction, God would have had, you know, revealed himself to the entire humanity. Everybody could have theoretically been Jewish. But the model that emerges after the Mabul is God has much lower standards for B'nai Noach, and what needs to emerge? A nation. And Shua, if I were to ask you, what is that point of differentiation where that nation begins to emerge? What is the beginning of the emergence of that nation? there were Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and what is the eighth mitzvah? And here I refer to the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph. What was the next mitzvah that initiated the process of Taryag? Bris Mila. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. A watershed moment in world history. Connected to the Mabul, for sure. From this point on, everything is going to be channeled through Avram. If the entire world will be blessed, it will be blessed through Avram, or maybe in his merit. Apropos the Ibn Ezra's comment and Svi's excellent Teyara, the next Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is not just the differentiation of Avram, but the differentiation of that very nation. What do we call that? Goy Mikerev Goy, Shua once again cooking with Crisco. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, Yatzu'u Kol Tzivos Hashem Eretz Yisrael. We've already dealt with Yom Kippur, and what a profound personal as well as national transition that is. And now we come, perhaps, and Hanan, one could see viscerally, this was the difficulty that you encountered. Why is the death of Moshe such a profound transition? What does the death of Moshe represent? And the Torah itself explicitly states it's the end of Zos HaBracha.
That's the end of the Torah?
It's the end of the Torah. But what does the end of the Torah really represent? Nachi? Nachi, you bring me great joy when you say things like that. That's exactly the idea. The Torah itself testifies. Who can give me the pasuk where the Torah testifies to Moshe and his death ending in era? Shimon. Asher yidao Hashem panim el panim. That means to say it was the end. And profoundly so, of an era in which God was creating, was communicating directly with humanity. There were many Nevi'im. We have the recorded Nevuah of no fewer than 55. Arba'im u'shmona Nevi'im v'sheva Nevi'os, shenisnabu lohen li Yisrael. That is all true. But lochein avdi Moshe b'chol beis sineman hu pel pe'adaver ba v'mara v'lo v'chidos u'smunas Hashem yabid u'madu alo yireisem l'daber b'avdi b'moshe. What Chazal like to term, remembers Chazal's favorite expression for this, the difference between Moshe's prophetic vision and all the other Nevi'im, of course. Go ahead, Shimshi, I heard you. Eitan, what was that expression? Avi? The aspaklaria hameira, right? That clairvoyant lens, as opposed to the aspaklaria she'ena meira, to use that expression. And the death of Moshe was therefore a complete turning point. Never again could we experience such proximity. The human realm and divine realm were not severed, but things could never exactly be the same. Couldn't. They wouldn't. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is always a watershed. Itsumo Shalyom. The day itself is reflective of a deep power, a power that can even be transformative. Whether that's in the realm of Kapara, whether that reflects God's expectations of humanity, the emergence of a singular individual, the culmination of that process with the Am HaNivchar, or the termination of a certain special proximity between the divine realm and the human realm that was encapsulated by the career and the contributions of Moshe Rabbeinu. So to summarize, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, Rashi, commenting locally, says, Kevan Shehigia, once the moment came, Miketz Loshim Shana V'Arba Meo Shana Lo Ikvan Afilu Kerev Ayin. he sent them out. Ibn Ezra, building off that idea, says, yeah, all true. Right? But their tsa'akos would not have made a difference in this respect. Eitan points out correctly, that certainly sets the process in motion of getting Moshe involved and maybe even ending Shibud Mitzrayim, the actual bondage earlier, but they couldn't go out till this time. It had to be that they served the full time. Shloshim Shana, V'yarabam Be'oshana, V'ahi Be'etzem, Hayom Hazeh, Yatzu Kol Tzivos Hashem, Mei Eretz Mitzrayim. But in the broader perspective, when we take into account, you know, all of the examples in the Chumash, what we see is something, I think, much more profound. Yom Kippur, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bris Milah, the Mabul, Misas Moshe Rabbeinu, all very clear watersheds in the history of the world and in the emergence of Klal Yisrael.